for America.
I've got a vision for what I want to do for the country. See, I know exactly where I want to lead. It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
I've got a vision for what I want to do for the country. See, I know exactly where I want to lead.
You were both in Skull and Bones, the secret society.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
Good morning. Welcome to Inquisition Update. My name's Tom Press, and I'll be your host for the next hour. You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Thanks for tuning in this morning. My pleasure to be here again this morning. And also, before we begin the program, I'd like to read a passage from God's Holy Word. Psalms 103, verse 11 says, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him." His mercy is high, just as high as the heavens, for those who fear him, over the God of this world, the biblical Antichrist, the Pope of Rome. Now, as many have expected, as advertised, my guest this morning is News with Views author and contributor Brother Gregory William, a new acquaintance of mine, one whom I haven't even spoken to yet, but one whose article I read last Tuesday on the broadcast that brought me to a very stark realization that I, as so many Americans have, without our realizing it, have sold ourselves back under the bondage of slavery, as the Israelites, who were delivered by a mighty hand from the bondage and slavery of Egypt by their Creator, their Lord and King, who simply wanted to go back to Egypt under that bondage. And I too thought I was liberated from slavery, and now I've come to realize through Brother Gregory, and a realization that has been coming slow to me for a long period of time, that finally hit home reading Brother Gregory's article that was entitled "Christian Idiots" or "Christian Idiotes." And I'll let Brother Gregory welcome to the broadcast, and I'm very happy to have read your article and learned from it, and I'm pleased to have you on as a guest on the program this morning.
Well, I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to be of service in any way I can.
Well, I wanted to get to know you a little bit, so I watched some of your videos on your YouTube, and the more I listen, the more I agree. And give us a brief testimony, will you, Brother Gregory?
Well, I don't know really where to begin. I think I've always been on this path to find the truth about what God wants us to do, what God wants us to be like, and how he wants us to operate. I don't know if you know much about my background. There's a little blurb or floating around on our website, but the website...
No, honestly, I don't know much at all. I'm a newcomer.
Okay, well, I was actually raised Catholic. Began studying to be a priest at 13 in a society directly under the auspices of Pope, not the Jesuits, as a lot of people have been rumoring. I came to some stark revelations in those studies that most of the men who were teaching me didn't actually believe in Christ. They believed in their religion, they believed in their office, they believed in power, and that's not what I was looking for. So I made a about face and turn, and over a period of years, eventually I ended up where my first love was, which was sheep herding out on the desert. My father had been an attorney. He wanted me to be an attorney. I did not continue to pursue the law until I was out here following the sheep around, and one day I knelt down on the desert when checking on sheep during lambing and asked God. I said, there's something I'm missing. I don't know what it is. I can't figure it out myself. If you want me to know something, you'll have to show me.
Praise his holy name.
And I think that's a very important attitude that everybody has to take, is that you can't figure it out. If that's true, then the knowledge of good and evil is the answer. But that's not the tree we need to eat from. We need
right.
to eat from the tree of life, which is the Holy Spirit. And that allowed me that when I began to see the words of truth, I began to recognize them. And, you know, the information I was given freely. I didn't have to buy a single book. They actually came to my doorstep. And that's the deal I have with God. I don't have to buy books. I can't afford them anyway. So I have to share that information in all the books I've written since then. I've put on the net entirely in PDF formats and HTML formats so people can read them for free. But the first, the beginning of that revelation was that very week, and it was someone came from many miles away and began to talk about the contractual nature of government. And that just rang bells in me. At this, that same week, a stack of law books showed up on my front doorstep, which I didn't think I had any need for until that week. And I mean, they literally showed up. I came to the door, and there was a pile of law books almost 2 feet tall standing in front of my door. So I began to read those books in my spare time out here herding sheep on the desert, and it changed my whole view of the Bible because I had some background in Greek and Hebrew and Latin and the languages because of my earlier studies. I was able to go back and take a look at the Bible with all things anew. And that began the book, The Covenants of the Gods, which led to the book, Thy Kingdom Comes, and Higher Liberty, and the Free Church Report. And I've become quite the iconoclast about many of the teachings that I was taught in my early childhood. But I had to go that route in order to go this route. So God knew what he was doing, even though I didn't. So that's
well,
kind
it's
of
amazing
brief
how,
as
it's
I
amazing
be.
How God answered your prayer. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's about as brief as I could be, is that, yeah, God answers our prayers, and that's why I warn people to be careful what you pray for.
Right.
Because it often brings a certain amount of burden. His burden is light. But, you know, I mean, the people prayed for a king under Samuel, and God gave it to him. Before he gave it to him, he told him, he says, this is what's going to happen. He's going to he's going to take the first fruits of your labor. He's going to take the best of your fields. He's going to make his instruments of war. He's going to take your sons to run before his chariots, which is to put them in harm's way for his own purposes. And he's going to take and take and take and take as the passage goes on. And then there will come a day of reckoning. And when you cry out, he would not hear you in that day. But they prayed for a king anyway, and they got it. And we prayed for rulers who can exercise authority, and we've got them. And we are snared in the very traps that we have set for our neighbor. And the Protestants today aren't much different than the Catholics of yesterday. They have been born out of some of the same exact lies that have come down to us through the ages. I'm not really one to pick on. I don't dislike Catholics. I don't dislike Protestants. Even Christ, the Bible begins with in John with God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that it might be saved. There are five different words in the Greek text that are translated world, and that particular one means constitutional order or system of government. God so loved the people that were going into bondage under rulers and kings that he gave his only begotten son that they might be saved from that foolishness.
Yeah.
And we have followed the leaders that have delivered us into the same bondage again, the Pharisees of today. And I must, if I'm going to be like Christ, so love those people that I speak out so that they might be saved as well.
Right.
So I'm not bashing anybody in their religion, because I'm looking for those who will hear the word of God. And I have to go into the strongholds of religion in order to preach the truth. And so that's the direction from which I'm coming.
Well, my listeners know that I condemn error as I see it, and I don't mince my words when I do it. And when I do it, I'm usually construed as being someone who hates Catholics. And it's difficult to shed that accusation, because it's so easy to make, and it's so easy to proffer. But the greatest compassion, I believe, that any man can give another man is to tell him the truth.
Yeah, that is the greatest sword against the deception and the lie, is not just pointing out the lie, but pointing out the truth. Because those who want to see the truth will see it and recognize the lie afterwards, no matter where they go. If you just point out the lie, well, they may recognize that as a lie, but then when the next lie comes, what do they do? They need the truth in order to distinguish it wherever they go and whatever form that lie takes, because it's taken many, many forms over the years.
Well, your great ministry is the law of liberty, and how to shed the bonds of the Pharaoh and the Pharisees and the papacy, because this world system is designed after that model set by the papacy. And what really brought me to the understanding was in your article where you talked about Corban, which was something I read the word in the scripture, but I didn't know what it really meant. I'd heard other people teach about it, but it just didn't ring a bell with me. But when I read your article, it all of a sudden woke me up to an aspect of it that I never comprehended. That Corban was a system of social security set up between Herod and the Pharisees, and it was contrary to the teaching of Moses and the law of liberty, the liberty we have in Christ. And I never comprehended that before. And I watched your video about baptism, how they even use baptism to immerse them into that, or to initiate them into that new system of social security, a literal enslavement. And,
yes,
we're under a similar system of Corban today.
Yeah, it's almost identical. I mean, obviously, there's a few jots and tittles that are different, but the precept upon precept is the same. And it's not anything different. If you read the articles at HisHolyChurch.org, we've got dozens of articles that cover the same topic from different points of view, such as Nimrod. He had set up a system of Corban as well that brought the people into bondage. The Romans, who were called the Kittim, were setting up a similar system, which we refer to as free bread and circuses, but they had universal health care at times under the Roman emperors, based on their system of Corban, which they spell Q-O-R-B-A-N. Even in the Quran, you'll see the word Corban transliterated K-O-R-B-A-N. It simply means sacrifice. And the key difference between what Moses was teaching and Christ was teaching, and John the Baptist was teaching, and what is being taught today in all these religions, from Judaism to Muslims to Christianity, is that that sacrifice that you make to take care of the needy of your society in pure religion has to be a free will offering. If yeah. it's a compelled offering by someone who has the power to force you to contribute, then you're back in the bondage of Egypt.
Now, this is I've tried to bring this out by familiarizing my listeners with Pope Benedict XVI's encyclical called Caritas in Veritate, which literally proclaims the Pope to be the Robin Hood of the world, and that there'll be the new system is going to be put in place where someone will come into your home and assess everything that you have and evaluate what you are putting to good use, and then all of that which you are not putting into good use according to their standard will be taken from you and given to someone else to use, to put into good use for the benefit of all. And it's literally a Robin Hood system. And it's and they call this charity. They've, yes. they've literally redefined charity, and this is the ultimate system that today that you are describing, Caritas
right.
in Veritate, the encyclical by Pope Benedict XVI.
Yeah, this is there's been a war from the beginning, from Cain. To Lamech, to Nimrod, to what have you, between them and those who remain righteous in their generations, such as Noah and Abraham. And that war is, the dividing line between that is, are your sacrifices going to be free will offerings out of love for one another, or are they going to be compelled offerings because you have subjugated yourself by subjugating your neighbor to your own desires and will? Have you? We all become Cain. We club our neighbor over the head so that we can have free education, free health care, free social welfare, which is not free. That burden is not light. That burden shall become heavier and heavier and heavier. And, you know, I read a little bit on your website just to get a little familiar with what I was getting into.
I probably, my reputation probably preceded me.
Well, actually, you know, I don't get a chance to listen to radio at all. I'm extremely busy, and I'm way out in the middle of nowhere. I don't even have enough bandwidth to download most audios. I can't even listen to my own show because we don't have DSL out here. We're very remote in the high deserts of Oregon. We're actually having a retreat this end of this month. We have them every year in the fall, a camping retreat, and people can come out and see what it looks like out here in the middle of nowhere. But there's... In the book Thy Kingdom Come, I point out a prophecy that was well hidden. When they uncovered the Dead Sea Scrolls, as well as a number of other scrolls that they've uncovered over the last century or two, there was a major effort by Jewish Orthodox and the Catholic Church to suppress the information that may have been contained.
Oh, I'm not one bit surprised at that. Go ahead.
Because if you find out what was really going on at the time, you can read the Bible in the context of the events that were surrounding the apostles and Christ and John the Baptist. That's why they were afraid what might be revealed. Well, one of the things was a prophecy. I think it was in a paper, Habakkuk... I think they classified it number 9. And it said, because you have plundered many nations, all the remnant of the people shall plunder you. It goes on to say, the last priests of Jerusalem who shall amass money and wealth by plundering the people. Now, how do they plunder the people? It's through these systems of Corban where you have to contribute because you signed up for the benefits even though you know the benefits will come at the expense of your neighbor, which is coveting your neighbor's goods. Peter made it clear, through covetousness they shall make merchandise. But the prophecy goes on to say, but in the last days their riches and booty shall be delivered into the hands of the army of the Kittim. The Kittim were the Romans. For it is they who shall be the remnants of the people. So they were, and Jesus even points out that the Roman soldier had more faith than anybody he had met. There's a lot more to that, but there was a big transition going on then. But one of the interesting things is that when Christ came, he was king. He was born king. He was proclaimed king when he came into Jerusalem. He's found in the temple doing what only the king could do. Firing the money changers was a job that was prescribed by the Old Testament when David became king. Only David could fire the money changers. And that's exactly what Jesus was doing. He was giving commands. He was seen, if you look at the original Greek, in the royal treasury. He was allowed in the royal treasury where he was instructing the ministers. They used the word gastophone, which is very specific, inside the royal treasury. Why? Because he's the king. But he was not going to force the contributions of the people anymore. He was rolling back all the corruptions of what Moses intended. Moses and Jesus Christ were in agreement. They were actually doing the same thing. The modern Christians' view of what the Jews were doing has come down to them through the Pharisees. And we have been misled as to what Moses was really doing. He was setting people free. He said, love thy neighbor as thyself, not oppress the stranger in your midst. Today, we oppress our neighbor. We force our neighbor to contribute to our welfare. And John the Baptist, when he was baptizing into the kingdom of heaven, as opposed to the baptism of Herod, he said, when they asked him, how does this kingdom work? He says, if you have two coats and your neighbor has none, you share. Faith, hope, and charity. Simple as that. And there's the division line between true Christians who are following Christ and those who are following the usurpers of Christ, the antichrists of the world, who want to create a worldwide system of socialism and force you to contribute at their whim, at their discretion, to your neighbor.
And for their benefit.
And eventually for their benefit, because they will amass those riches. That's where that wealth will go. So, you know, the point is this has always been the case where you have a few voices in the wilderness crying out, trying to point out the corruption, because the whole world has followed after corruption again. And they're saying, make straight the way of the Lord. We have to set the table of the Lord. We have to go back to a network of people bound not by contract, but by love for one another, who will contribute to one another in a form of charity that will strengthen the poor, not weaken them. And what we've done is created a system of so-called charity that is making the people weaker and weaker. If you create a socialist state, what will happen is you'll have people raped in the streets, robbed in the courts, abused in your land, and people will shut their shades. And they will not come to their aid because they say, oh, well, law is not my concern. Justice is not my concern. But Christ said, you should be tending to the weightier matters. And I asked a whole room full of preachers, what did Christ list as the weightier matters? And they could not answer a single one. And that list was law, judgment, mercy, and faith. If we are not interested in justice for our neighbor, then we should not have justice. If we are interested in forcing our neighbor to provide us with welfare, we will be caught under the authority of that same force. And what should have been for our welfare shall be a snare.
And obviously we are caught. We'll continue with our discussion with Brother Gregory Williams right after the break. You're listening to Inquisition Update on FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be right back.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net. The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately, and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Now you can enjoy the most delicious, freshest, and healthiest drinking water anytime, even while traveling, during outdoor sporting activities, and in hospital filtration environments such as local or national emergencies. The revolutionary Berkey Light removes pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful or unwanted chemicals to below detectable levels. It also removes foul tastes and odors like that rotten egg smell of sulfide, and it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving in the healthful and nutritional minerals your body needs. The Berkey Light is so powerful it can purify raw, untreated water from remote lake streams and stagnant ponds. The Berkey Light is transparent and glows in the dark with its rechargeable LED lighting system, so it can be used as a night light or camp light.
Get the Berkey Light Purifier today by calling First Amendment Radio at 559-781-3773. That's 559-781-3773. Or order on the web at firstamendmentradio.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
Welcome back from the break. You're listening to the second half hour of Inquisition Update. My guest this morning is Brother Gregory Williams, a News with Views contributor and author of the article, Christian Idiots or Idiotes. Brother Gregory, it appears that God's people have voluntarily removed the light yoke of their king in heaven and have put on the heavy chains of bondage of Caesar. How is it that we can repent and remove those heavy chains of bondage to the earthly counterfeit of Christ and take once again that easy yoke of our heavenly King, our benefactor, and the one who died for us?
Yeah, those bonds can only be released by the power of God, but that doesn't mean that we can't do something. And of course, what we should do is exactly what Christ was saying when they were going into those bonds at the time of Christ, and many of them are already in such bondage, and that is to repent, which means to turn around and go another way. And that way was to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, the kingdom of God is the right to be ruled by God. We're ruled by men because we have prayed to those men for benefits, because through covetousness we have been made merchandise. Another way to say that is through our desire for benefits at the expense of our neighbor, we have been made human resources. And of course, they even have a human resources department to take care of all those human resources, because you become a resource for the Pharaoh, for Cain, for Nimrod, for the Caesars of the world, for Babylon. And you must labor. They put taskmasters over you. And, you know, we spell all this out in the book Covenants of the Gods and how that's come about. And it's been a steady progression. But it was prophesied that the whole world would be deceived, except God would elect some men not to be deceived. Now, why would he do that? Why wouldn't he elect us all not to be deceived? Well, it's because we don't fear God. We are not humble before God in the ways that we should. And, you know, you, when you read that article, you said you were, I don't want to put words in your mouth, and I can't always remember what people said, but you saw something that you hadn't seen before.
Yeah.
You know how many people will read that article and not see what you said or you saw?
Well, I don't know, but I can tell you from my experiences and other conversations that I have, I talk about these things on amateur radio, and very few comprehend what I say.
Yes, and so it's a gift to be able to see this. I didn't reveal the truth to you. I just said what was given to me. What revealed it as true to you is something inside your own holy, in your own spirit. It's the Holy Spirit inside your own heart. And God is writing upon your heart and upon your mind. We have all been deceived. We have all fallen prey to this. And that's good to know, because that's a humbling experience. It's the proud who will not see that they are deceivable, that they can be fooled. From the beginning, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is when we thought we could figure it out ourselves, that we were smart enough to decide what was good and what is evil for ourselves. As soon as we began to believe that, we became subject to deception, more and more deception. And the only way back is to realize that we can't figure it out ourselves, and that we need to repent. Now, in the process of trying to go back to what the early church was doing, we will find other flaws in our character and hopefully repent of those. The early church was the entire social welfare system of the early Christians. They did not depend on the free bread and circuses of Rome. They did not depend upon the benefits of the Pharisees and their system of Corban. They depended upon the Eucharist of Christ, faith, hope, and charity, the ability and willingness of people to give to one another, to cast their bread upon the waters, to share with those that don't have. And if you read some of the early apologies of the church, you know, before Constantine, way back 150 A.D., men like Justin talk about having their meetings once a week, and those who had shared with those who did not have. And he wrote that apology to the emperor, explaining how their government, their church, their pure religion worked. They provided for one another without benefits that were compelled and funded by compelled offerings of the people. And that is the Eucharist of Christ. When they gave out communion, it was loaves of bread to get them through some of the worst famines that Rome was suffering. But then a church came along and said, "Oh, we can't afford to give you loaves of bread. We're just going to give you a little wafer. And we're not going to give you any wine to wash it down. We're going to drink all the wine. We're going to drink that, and you just take the wafer, the little crumb." Actually, the word they used was crumb to describe the wafer. That's not the communion of Christ. The communion of Christ is when we are thankful for the opportunity of giving a blessed meal to the truly hungry of our community in free will offerings of charity. And we only hope that they will do the same for us. We will not force them to do the same for us by contract, by forcing them into contracts where they are bound by men with guns or swords or spears to compel to us. Levites did not kick in the door of people's homes to extract from them their sacrifices. They were tied to according to their service, and that service was the social welfare system of Moses, which was based on free will offerings. Today, the priests of modern religion are found down at government offices because they're the ones that provide for the needy, but they don't do it with free will offerings. They do it with forced offerings, and that will cause your community to be weaker and weaker and weaker. In a time of affluence, you are not strengthening the poor. You are making people and society weaker and weaker, which was the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. And, of course, that's going to lead to a breakdown in the family, a rise in homosexuality, a rise in indifference, a rise in corruption in every aspect of our society, in business, in the production of health care and the production of foods. People will produce foods that make them the most money, not make their neighbor the healthiest individual. And they will literally poison each other with the commodities that they produce, because the key motivation now is profit.
Yeah.
And wealth and riches. There is no love for one another. I mean, it is here in America. It is here in the world. But it is being strangled by commercialism and meism and socialism and communism and whatever ism you can think of. But it's not Christ. And we have to look at all things anew and repent and go back and try to create that network that was the early church that bound the people by faith, hope, and charity, not by superstition, not by dogmas that come down from theologians that have way too much time on their hand, but by the practical, day-to-day practice of true love for one another. And the church doesn't do that. Early America, the church was the entire social welfare system for early Americans. The church is referred to as embryonic republics, where the minister didn't rule over you. He was your servant. And that's what Christ was creating, was a system where you picked the best servant amongst you to actually serve you. Somewhere along the line, religious service became singing and preaching.
Yes.
Service used to be service to one another, actually providing for one another when there was true need. And that's fallen away. Even the word, liturgy. Liturgy in the Greek means public service. And it actually was just that. That's where you went to receive the public service of your government. These are the men that said there was another king, one Jesus, that did contrary to the decrees of Caesar because they didn't have to obey all the decrees of Caesar, because Caesar, through Pontius Pilate, had already said Jesus Christ is king of the Jews. And some of the Jews followed Christ, and anyone who got the baptism of Christ was kicked out of the system of Corban of the Pharisees that forced the contributions of the people. But that was okay, because now they were a part of the Corban of Christ, which was free will offerings, and the Eucharist of Christ, which was a people that were thankful for the opportunity of giving, a giving that blessed people, that strengthened people. You know, it was often tough love in that giving. You know, those who did not work did not eat. In today's society, you don't have to work and you can eat a lot. They'll give you food stamps and welfare. All you have to do is fill out the forms. And that makes society weaker and weaker and weaker to have that kind of system. So, you know.
Well, that's the system we built in this country, forced redistribution of wealth.
Yes.
And we're conducting it on a scale that we are soon coming to loathe. And I'm afraid if Caritas and Veritate is put into actual practice, it's going to be beyond our ability to cope with.
Well, you know, actually, to some degree, it is in practice.
Yeah.
It is in practice. You go to many states, and the tax assessor actually comes into your home and looks at your couch and measures the inside of your house. In some states, they don't do that. They just measure the outside of your house. Mm-hmm. When Israel came to Canaan, they enjoyed the beneficial interest of their property, what they called in the biblical translation, the milk and honey. That's the beneficial interest. Today in America, nobody owns their land. They have legal title to their land. They're renting their land from the government. That's not what Moses intended. He did not want a use tax on the land. He wanted you to hold dominion of the land. And each of you actually own your property, own your labor. Nobody could take a portion of your labor. They couldn't muzzle the ox. They couldn't make him work, but not let him have the benefits of his labor. All this has come about because we have made contracts, covenants, and yes, even constitutions. That's another book that I put out, Contracts, Covenants, and Constitution, and it takes a look at the U.S. Constitution. Now, the men who wrote it, a lot of them were very good men, had a lot of very good ideas, but they also had bad ideas. Most of the people at the time of the writing of the Constitution, the people in America, would have voted it down had it been put to a popular vote. They knew they couldn't put it to a popular vote because it was so unpopular. And there were men like Patrick Henry and a lot of other better educated men who argued against it and warned that it was wrought with problems. And we go in there and explain that, you know, there are actually instructions in the Bible. If you do decide to have a ruler who can exercise authority, you need to write down, in other words, it's instructions on what to put in your Constitution. There are five elements that you should put in your Constitution. And we only put one of them in the U.S. Constitution. The other four are missing. They aren't in there. As a matter of fact, the reverse is the case. And the one element that they did put in there is that he couldn't be a foreigner. And the very only biblical element that we put in the Constitution to guarantee our freedom, we disregard today. So, you know, there's very clear evidence that we are coming to a major point of decision in the world today, in America especially, as to what direction our lives are going to follow. And unfortunately, most of the churches are not preaching the direction preached by John the Baptist and Jesus Christ in the early church. Because
that's right.
The churches today, if you have an actual physical need, if you're hungry, they'll send you to government welfare offices.
Yeah.
Because those are the priests of your religion. Those are the ones who will give you the Eucharist of the state. You know, the forced offerings will give you, and most of it's not even those offerings, because they're now operating in debt, which the Bible is wrought with warnings against that.
Yeah. Well, my listeners are familiar with this, and I've come to declare the churches today, even the most pious churches in our land, are become agents of the government.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They're actually corporations of the government.
Yeah.
And the law states very clearly in most states, I've seen it, I haven't looked in every single state statutes, but it's a common precept and should be there, is that if you incorporate under the power or authority of the state, all other previous incorporations is null and void as if they never happened. Now, it's actually a partial quote right out of the statutes of numerous states. That means that you are no longer the corpus of Christ. You're the corpus of the state. You're the body of the state. You belong to the state. No wonder all those ministers send you to the state if you actually need bread or to be cared for. pure religion. Religion is only mentioned five times in the Bible. Four times it's mentioned in a derogatory sense, the religion of the Pharisees. One time it talks about pure religion in James. Pure religion is how you take care of the widows and orphans and needy of your society, unspotted from the world. And again, that word world there, and you need to know which world they're translating in order to understand, because, like I said, there's five different Greek words they translate into world. That word is constitutional order or system of government. If you're taking care of your needy by forcing contributions through the sword of government, which was never the way it was in America, you know, 100 years ago, you know, all the charity was taken care of by the church or by charitable people, by neighbors. We've completely moved away. If early Americans saw what we have done with this country, they would spit on us. They would be ashamed of us. And there were some who warned that this was likely to happen, and unfortunately their warnings were not included in public education. They're actually removed about 1908, 1913, 1930, 1940. These references were removed. We don't learn history in America anymore.
Yeah.
And so anyway, we need to get back to that, and that is what we can do more than anything else, is start coming together in a network of local congregations where we start looking to one another and helping one another and trusting in God and God working in the hearts of our brethren to take care of us in time of need, because this country is on the verge of a great time of need.
Now, what you're talking about is separating from the organized church-state union that are working in fellowship to promote social programs, and separating completely unto Christ and doing everything by faith, hope, and charity. In other words, you divorcing ourselves from the state and the established state church and uniting unto Christ under his law and operating as the true body of Christ according to the scriptures.
Right.
Which is what Christ was saying.
Turn around, go another way. What John the Baptist was saying, you know, why was he baptizing them out in the wilderness? It wasn't safe for him to go to town. And people wanted to know, well, how does your... They knew how the system of Herod worked. You got baptized. They gave you a new Hebrew name. They gave you a little white stone with a Hebrew name carved on it. You used that as kind of an ID when you went, and the scribes wrote down that name and who you were. And you had to contribute to your local synagogue, which came back up to the major temples and filled the treasuries, which Jesus also warned about, these central treasuries. And Moses warned about these central treasuries. And you were never to have one if you picked a leader that was to exercise authority. But anyway, you had to pay in to fill those treasuries. And they filled those treasuries, and they built golden temples. We were never to build a stone temple.
Right.
Exactly. We are the stones, the living stones of the temple of God. Yep. We are to come together and fit together without hewing one another, without twisting each other's arm, without forcing each other. We need to learn to operate by the perfect law of liberty. And that's a process. That you don't just... We're against the idea of walking the plank. Now, the churches should simply... If you've incorporated your church, there's a way to... You can't unincorporate that church, but you can start anew and let the old corporation die. But the individuals, we don't want them walking the plank. We want them turning around and going another way, start setting the table of the Lord on this faith, hope, and charity, and start preparing. And some people learn faster than others, so it's an individual thing. We have to learn to walk as individuals with Christ together, so that we are really brothers in Christ, because we have a common Father and a common way in which to go. And modern Christians are completely ignorant of what the early church was doing.
Yeah.
And it's quite a job to change that, to say the least. Yeah. But it was quite a job. It took years for Jesus and John the Baptist, even before Jesus was preaching this. And the apostles who walked with Jesus didn't quite get it even until Pentecost.
Yeah.
But they were willing to walk this out and learn and relearn and unlearn the falsities that they had received before from men who
may have been able to do it. The learning curve got really steep when the Romans came to destroy Jerusalem, and they had to learn to live by the law of the Lord.
Right. Well, by Pentecost, anybody who got the baptism of Jesus Christ, we know this by the verses in John concerning the blind man and his parents, that they would be cast out of the social welfare system that had been set up by the Hasmoneans, Herod, and the Pharisees. And you would no longer get any more benefits. You wouldn't be taken care of in your old age. You wouldn't, if you were blinded, you wouldn't be taken care of. If you got sick, you wouldn't be taken care of. You were no longer going to receive these social welfare benefits just by getting baptized in the baptism of Christ. And today, most people aren't ready to take thousands of people who would turn around and walk away from that. And it took years for Jesus to build the network of believers who would be able to do that in a single day. Pentecost was the second Exodus. Just as the Israelites left the benefits of Egypt behind and struck out on their own, the early Christians left the benefits of the social welfare system of Herod and the Pharisees in a single day. And they were probably busy most of that day organizing themselves into the tens, hundreds, and thousands so common throughout Europe after that amongst true Christians. And
now, go ahead.
It was eventually crushed through the Inquisitions, stamped out, because they didn't want you to have the tens, hundreds, and thousands. They didn't even want you to know about them. It's been wiped out. It's the most common form of government amongst free people. 10 families pick a minister. They pick one because he is a good servant, not because he's going to rule over them. And then that minister gets together with 9 other ministers like himself, and they pick a minister. And you end up with the best servant of servants at the head. But that head is not a leader that rules. He's a leader that serves, like Christ. And that's what most Christians were doing for hundreds and hundreds of years throughout Europe. And the evidence is very clear from those who go beyond your high school and college history books that have been, doctored to preach a different kind of, the Dark Ages was the Dark Ages for kings. People were very prosperous during the Dark Ages if they were Christians. And we don't know that history anymore because somebody's removed that. And the Inquisition just stomped that knowledge out of existence and robbed those people. Valley after valley after valley was just destroyed by millions of people in order to create a centralized religion.
Yeah. Well, let's tell the listeners quickly where they can get more information from.
HisHolyChurch.org, all one word, HisHolyChurch, and then .org. And we encourage everybody to join the Living Network and find other people that are searching to find the truth. And you can do that with the little guy with the net up there. But there is a wealth of information there, and it's all available for free. And but we want you to contact people in your local area. That's why we created the network. And you can't belong to His Holy Church. You can only belong to Christ. That's all we're interested in. But we can learn to walk together.
Well, thanks for coming today. My guest today, Gregory Williams. We'll have to have him back on Inquisition Update. Thanks for listening this morning. We'll see you Monday on Inquisition Update.